You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What is up, Bison fans? This is your host, Ross Uglum, publisher of the Bison Report on 24/7 Sports, bringing you this special must-listen playoff edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. You're still going to get your normal pod, where Trevor and I break down the football game and Nate and I go over the last two basketball games, one of which hasn't even happened yet. And we'll drop that for you guys right before we take a little bit of a podcast Thanksgiving break. And we won't take a content break. I can promise you that. But we are going to take a little bit of a podcast break with no North Dakota State game. And with a full week between basketball, it's going to be tough to find things to talk about. So right now, we're just going to drop a relatively short playoff pod on all of your heads, if that is okay. All right. I'm going to bring on the softballless Trevor Gebhardt. Trevor, how is the offseason going?
Making sure that my body's ready for the spring. So I got to make sure that we rebound.
Get in the tub.
Avenge our runner-up finish in the Rock Hill Adult Softball Men's League. Possibility of some co-ed action. Not really sure if we're going to go that route. If I can convince Carla, we may have a co-ed team going. Sure. We'll see where the softball journey takes us.
Is Carla pretty athletic?
Oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah, she could jump pretty high.
All right.
She can move. Yep.
So, as most folks would have guessed, after a second consecutive undefeated regular season, North Dakota State was named the number one seed. Kind of a duh thing, but you know, I guess you could make a case for James Madison, with the only loss being to West Virginia. But ultimately, the defending champs didn't drop a game, played a tougher schedule than JMU, and ultimately, you know, went through that schedule unblemished. I thought the CAA was extremely weak this year, as apparently did the committee, because nobody besides James Madison was seeded out of that league, and you know, not a ton of teams in either. How do we feel about this seeding? And so I'm going to run through it real quick. NDSU 1, JMU 2. Their potential semi-opponent would be Weber State at 3. NDSU's semi-opponent would be the winner of Sacramento State 4 and Montana State 5. And then your upset candidates would be number 6, Montana, eventually lining up with Weber, number 7, South Dakota State, eventually lining up with James Madison, and then Central Arkansas is who will likely come to the Dome if they can knock off the winner of SEMO and Illinois State. And honestly, I don't think that is a given. And that's something that I think needs to be talked about, because SEMO and Illinois State are pretty tough as far as the, you know, you take a look at the 14 teams that made it that weren't auto bids, pretty tough potential opponents there for Central Arkansas. How did you feel about the seeding?
The seeding itself, I mean, it's kind of cut and dry. You kind of knew what you were going to get. It was a little bit of craziness this last weekend after everyone kind of had teams set in stone. With Illinois State losing, South Dakota State losing, but South Dakota State almost probably got a favor. You know, I think they really dropped probably from 3 to 7. So basically they got a date with JMU in the quarterfinals versus the semis there. Outside of that, you can justify it. People can argue certain things to put other teams in, but ultimately it's, you know, a 12 game season. So a lot of teams with 9 wins made it in. Of course, SDSU with the lowest win total got in at 7 with 8 wins. And then you have your two blue bloods in the subdivision with NDSU and JMU basically being undefeated outside of the West Virginia loss for James Madison to start the season. So a little top heavy to the Big Sky. Four teams made the field and four teams got seeded. I did not necessarily agree with that. I wouldn't have done it that way. But all those teams won nine games in a relatively competitive league this year, and they definitely more than deserve to be in. They got rewarded for being in a very top-heavy conference this year.
Yeah, for sure. And I think if you're James Madison, you have to be really annoyed because Montana, I would say that their body of work – now, let's be very clear about something. They got absolutely drilled by Montana State. But their body of work going into that game was probably stronger than Montana State's, their overall season. That doesn't excuse 48-14, and I'm not even frankly saying Montana's the better squad, but I'm saying that I think that you're a little bit annoyed that they're on your side. And I think with the fact that Pierre Strong and C.J. Wilson are likely to come back with FCSU achieving a seed and not playing those two against USD, now you've bought them that week, you've bought them Thanksgiving weekend and the following week to potentially get ready to play a you know, kind of a nobody. Maybe you use those guys, maybe you don't, but you still, I think, have a chance to advance. Then all of a sudden you're really rested. And if those guys are ready to go, it's elimination football. They'll play. I mean, South Dakota State's not going to hold them out just to hold them out. But you could have a very different South Dakota State offense than the one that just lost to USD. I think you could see that South Dakota State offense that absolutely ripped Northern Iowa. And that kind of performance, and I'm not guaranteeing that they will have that kind of performance, but that kind of performance, I mean, that can beat James Madison. So, I mean, I think you're already kind of annoyed if you're the Dukes. Are you not?
A little bit. I mean, you've seen them in the playoffs. It's no different than playoff fatigue that we've seen with Bison fans. I mean, I tweeted out after the bracket was released that NDSU's finally getting some new teams to play. I know UND wouldn't necessarily be a new team to play, but it's a new team in the playoffs. And personally, I hope that that football team from Grand Forks can get a taste of what real playoff football is like. If they're fortunate enough to go into Louisiana and win. But you want to see new teams. You want to see teams that you deserve to be rewarded to play against by being a top seed. The one and the two seed should definitely earn that right. But I guess for the Duke's sake, you had SDSU drop their last game of the season, which dropped their seed overall. And that portion of the bracket that SDSU was in with the Toreros of San Diego and then Northern Iowa, of course, that to me is the most intriguing because, number one, Northern Iowa is scary. I would not necessarily chalk in SDSU for that game against James Madison. On paper, you certainly will, and they smoked them earlier this year. But it's very hard right to beat a team twice in a season. And I also wouldn't count out the Toreros because they have been known to beat teams in the first round that they don't necessarily seem like they would belong. I know they're in a non-scholarship league, and they've won, I don't know, I don't think they've lost in 15 years in that league. But a little bit of a trap game for Northern Iowa. But if they can get rolling and get hot, watch out for the Panthers because they finished, what, 6-2 in the Valley? And yep. And so, I mean, with their only losses coming to NDSU and SDSU, so a little bit of a revenge factor there. So I'll be curious to see how that – three-team portion of the bracket plays out. But to go back to your original question, yes, I think seeing new teams in the playoffs, especially for these blue bloods, is something that you like to see.
For sure. And, I mean, I think, honestly, too, you could have made a case to slide Northern Iowa into that South Dakota State spot at the seventh seed if you really wanted to seed a second Valley team, which I think they did need to do. I mean, you see this year after year after year where, you know, the Valley just beats itself up. And even though everybody understands it's the most talented conference,
Youngstown 2016.
Right. And you end up with underseeded teams that, you know, shouldn't be unseeded, teams that knock off seeded teams from lesser conferences just because they took three losses in the Valley. Well, guess what? The Valley's really tough, you know, and everybody has almost an automatic loss with North Dakota State. So you're starting 0-1. It's a tough deal, man.
Yeah. And I mean, when I'm looking at this and you bring up the Northern Iowa case, and you can fight this 10 different ways, but you can even argue Illinois State could have gotten seeded over South Dakota State. They had the same conference record. And Illinois State beat SDSU head-to-head. Now, they had a worse loss. You know, they're kind of comparable like we were talking before here. South Dakota State drops to South Dakota in a rivalry game. Illinois State drops to Youngstown. They both lost in the same week. Well, you take their conference record, both 5-3, and Illinois State has the head-to-head. I mean, to me, that says that that's the better team. And SDSU, I think, is just that resulted from being highly seeded to start the year and playing NDSU tough. Because you heard the committee in the selection show that Southern Illinois was something like 0-4 versus the field. Well, if that's the case, then you got to apply that criteria to everything else. And if that's the stance, well, you have an argument for seeding Illinois State over South Dakota State.
Yeah, and you know, ultimately the important thing is that two Valley teams got seeded. I think four Big Sky teams in the top six is wild. You right. Can't tell me that the Big Sky ended up with four of the best six teams in the country. I'm not
having
that.
I think the only reason, because I agree with you, you got four teams in the field and you seeded all four of them. The reason they
– in the top six?
Yeah, in the top six. So you have what – quick math, it's what, 66%, 67%
right
of the top six. But
plus, if you count UND as a Big Sky team, which they played I know they're independent, but they played a Big Sky schedule, they got five in. And they, year after year after year, show how poor that league is in the playoffs.
They got beat 52 to Montana State, 52-10 last year in the Fargo Dome. I think that was the final score.
And they're the five seed.
It's unreal. Yeah, to go back to your point, the Big Sky, very heavy seated there. I think they had a three-way tie for first. And when you have something like that, it's like, you know, the committee's viewing that as, well, it's a strong league. Well, you could view it the opposite. I know we're a little Valley biased here, but there's no clear-cut winner. There's nobody that emerges from the pack. And that, to me, says it's a weaker league. When you have – you don't have one or two dominant teams – throughout the season, and that those top three just happen to be better than everybody else, and then they just beat up on each other. So I don't know. I don't think the strength of the league overall is as good as the Valley. Clearly some bias into that opinion there, but I think you will see that shake out in the playoffs because, you know, Sac State and Montana State, I think they got favorable matchups, but even like Montana, I would not discount Villanova from going out there and beating them. They got to get by Southeast Louisiana first. And then Wofford's not a pushover either. They play really strong defense. And if you're Weber State and you start off slow, you're going to find yourself in a four-quarter battle. And you could be left with one or two Big Sky teams after that second weekend.
Right. So, and I mean, that kind of brings us to my next point, right? How does NDSU's path look? Fantastic. I think the Bison, for the first time since I remember covering this deal, I can't think of a more pleased North Dakota State fan base. You know, you're looking at potentially a matchup and another excuse to stomp on UND in the first round. Then you would end up with either Central Arkansas or potentially another look at Illinois State, maybe SEMO, but I think those other two are probably a little bit more likely. And then you end up with, you know, either Sac State or Montana State. Montana State, a team that showed they didn't belong in the Fargo Dome last year. I'm not sure Sacramento State is anything beyond that, really. Just a walk to Frisco, in my opinion. I mean, I think it's going to be an absolute walk to Frisco.
It's definitely what you would like to see as the one seed. That's how any playoff format is designed. The one seed should have the easiest path of they should have the path of least resistance.
Right. Or why did you play the 12 games?
You know, so definitely more than earned. You know, I wouldn't mind, like I've said, having UND, NDSU in the playoffs. I think it's great for the state. I think it's great for the subdivision. If they play Nicholls State, so be it. I personally think Nicholls State will win that game. They actually were the automatic qualifier out of the Southland and didn't get seeded over Central Arkansas, which I also find interesting because they beat them.
Right.
Just crazy. So, which don't let me get down that path because I'll get into my conspiracy theory here. But you have Nicholls State, UND, both new playoff teams. You have Central Arkansas, a new playoff team. I don't think Illinois State's going to come out of there because of their quarterback situation. And then you got Montana State and Sac State. I think Sac State will come out of that, number one, because they're the four seed. Not only that, but I have a buddy of mine, those of you remember Tom Farniak, that played at Iowa State. He has
There's a whole crew of those kids.
So he has a buddy that is a strength coach at Sacramento State, and he's filled me in a little bit on that program this year. Very strong group of kids, very hungry to win. I obviously don't think that that'll be enough to bring a scare in Fargo, but because of that, I think you'll see a battle between Sac State and Montana State for a chance to play in Fargo. So, but either way, favorable matchups for NDSU. Don't really see many scares or a potential of a scare at all until Frisco.
Yeah, and that's my big thing, too, is I don't see that either. All right, so we already kind of talked about South Dakota State, the fact that they got a seed. I just want to say this one thing, and then we can kind of move on. South Dakota State has proven that they belong on the field with the Bison, and that was kind of a big thing. We'll talk about SIU, too. Obviously, us being Bison Report, everything we do is NDSU-centric. If I get a chance to watch some other games during the week, great. I'll certainly watch games, the second half of competitive games during some of the blowouts at the Fargo Dome when the Wi-Fi holds up at the Dome, which is honestly, guys, is not often. But most of what we do is central to North Dakota State. And so what I see is that South Dakota State can play with the Bison. And I think that makes you one of the best eight teams in the country. And I understand that Jabari Gibbs isn't going to be there, but you know what? Everyone that was healthy after Jabari Gibbs got hurt, they stuck with the Bison. And Pierre Strong's coming back. CJ Wilson might come back. Guys, they have the ability to play with anyone in the country if they can play with the Bison. So that's why I actually am not that annoyed with SDSU getting a seed, because I think that they've shown that their upside, their, you know, great potential is someone that can play with the number one team in the country. And I'm not so sure that there are some teams in this field that can. Trev, give me the most interesting Thanksgiving matchup.
For me, it's, and I alluded to it earlier. Well, there's really two when I'm looking at it. The one that stands out to me, and it's only because it was the one that stood out to me the most during the selection show, but it's Northern Iowa and San Diego, because I do think it is a trap game for Northern Iowa, because you're licking your chops at another chance to go to Brookings in a place that they've often played well in. And so if you're the Panthers, you want to go and beat a Valley opponent that you want to prove your worthiness. So there's that little bit of looking ahead and discounting the Toreros out of the Pioneer League. They've won their conference and gotten the AQ bid, and that's the only team to make it these past few years. And I think I want to say, as of recent, the Pioneer League got an auto bid. Is that from their playoff appearances, or is that just maybe the last couple of years? You know, off the top of your head.
I don't. I mean, we've always seen San Diego as that team, so it's hard to differentiate just because it's always them. And I'll be interesting to see as time goes on if St. Thomas can maybe put a dent into that.
Oh, wow. Is that official then?
You know? It's not official, but it's the way things are going. I mean, it's official. Okay, this is what is official. If they are going to get in, it is going to be as a Summit League team for Olympic sports, and football will be Pioneer. They are not going to attempt to fund football.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. I mean, makes sense, though. But yeah, to get back to your original question, that to me is the most interesting because San Diego has been known to pull those wins out in the first round that they're not expected to because of the conference that they're in. I don't care what level of football you're playing, and Bison fans would wholeheartedly agree with the Twitter matches that they get in with Minnesota fans. But if you're winning 37 straight conference games, you're doing something right. So San Diego's going to go into Northern Iowa fully believing they will win the game. I will likely pick the Panthers to win that. So you got an interesting matchup there. And then obviously the fact of you and I looking ahead to SDSU, that one, and then SEMO Illinois State. That one intrigues me because of Illinois State's situation this last week. And SEMO has been a program on the rise as of late after Coach Ryan Napoli got his thumbprint on there. He's not Northern Illinois. For those of you that don't know, he was a strength coach for us. Hashtag back in my day. So those two are the ones on Thanksgiving weekend that I'm looking most forward to because I think you have teams with the potential to make the quarterfinals after a victory.
I always forget that Knapp is not there anymore.
Yep, he's in the FBS now. He's with the big boys. Maction.
Is he the head guy there?
He's the boss hog. Yep.
Oh, good for him.
I still can't decipher him and his brother from each other. It is insane. He's got a twin brother. maybe some of you have seen him around. But great guy. Definitely going to be a great one long term in the strength and conditioning world.
So I got to ask you, do you want to see UND? Is that something where as a fan, because I know the players don't care, you know, they're locked into this 1-0 every week thing. And, you know, who would I be to make fun of that? They, you know, it seems to be going pretty well, but they're locked in. As a fan, though, do you want to see UND just in case something wild happens? And you're nervous about that, or are you so confident that you just like to see another beatdown?
I want to see another beatdown, personally. And I think that's maybe me as a player coming out. And I was going to touch on this earlier, but I saw a video of, and I make fun of them a lot, but I saw the video of South Dakota State when they found out their positioning in the bracket. And there was a lot of jubilation. And most likely because of having that Thanksgiving week bye, because they know how big that is. You get a week off, you get to host a playoff game, and that's fun, and it just shows that your program's in a good spot. I think part of that cheer was because they were on the opposite side of the green and gold, and they know that the path to Frisco to make it there, they need to be matched up opposite of them. And so I think part of the reason when they saw 7 seed, that obviously means you're on the opposite side of the bracket, when they saw that, there was jubilation. Another hashtag back in my day, I don't know how they do it now, but we didn't really have a big watch party. It was kind of optional. If you wanted to show up, you could. We'd have a handful of guys show up and we'd watch. Anytime we got matched up with an SDSU or another conference team, we were excited for that because we wanted to show them truly what it's all about. And we would lick our chops at those opportunities. Yeah, we definitely like to see new teams. Everybody does. But when you know you can beat up on a rival again, that's exciting. And that, to me, is the difference in culture and the difference in the programs is that simple thing right there. Teams want a chance to compete, and other teams just want the chance to not play the best. Well, I think if you're NDSU, you know, wanting to see Nicholls State isn't bad because it's a new team and it's something fresh and exciting, and that's what the playoffs should be about. But again, if you play UND and that's who ends up winning that game next weekend, well, you're excited about that too because now you get an opportunity to show an in-state rival what playoff football is about. And I think it'll bring that, you know, we've talked about this in previous pods, but it'll bring back somewhat of a rivalry because when you start playing in the playoffs and it's one and done, there's a lot more on the line. Some of those former feelings come back. So I think it'll be great for the state. I think it'll be great for Missouri Valley, the subdivision overall, because it creates more storylines around North Dakota State which is obviously the focus nationally. So I think it'd be better overall for NDSU, the Missouri Valley, and the subdivision if UND does win that game.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you know, we talk about this UND-NDSU issue of basically not being an issue. And I think a lot of it has to do with just how dismissive people are of UND, and rightfully so. I mean, they've earned nothing. And by the way, boy, is that embarrassing to lose a home bid to Nicholls State in a dome stadium. The fact that that game is not at UND is just an absolute travesty. I don't think I completely understand how that happened, to be honest with you.
I'm on the same page as you. The only thing that I can think of is, did they really know if they were going to make it or not? So did they even put in a bid? That's where I'm wondering. It's like, yeah, if they make it, you know, they'd be excited just to be in. And they're like, why waste our time to put in money into something if we have no idea? That's my only rationale. Because, you know, you look at the two universities and you're like, yeah, I think Grand Forks might have a little bit more in the pockets.
Good Lord.
It's like kind of a shocker. So I'm thinking they either missed a deadline or just decided not to bid.
So I got to ask you, because I've been on, I've been on this discussion, if you will, all day about Southern Illinois. I think they got robbed. I think ultimately, you know, they didn't have UNI on their schedule. That hurt them. 24th ranked strength of schedule, 15th in Massey. Nobody held the Bison to 21 points or fewer, just SIU. Won 5 of their last 6. Guess what, guys? They were one of the 14 best at larges. Just a fact. They would absolutely beat the pants off of UND after watching those two. And I know that one game was a road game and one game was a home game, but Javon Williams Jr., DJ Davis, Jeremy Chin, UND doesn't have dudes like that. And I'm not even saying, honestly, that UND was the team they should have replaced. I'm just saying that if UND's a playoff team, SIU damn well is. What were your thoughts on SIU?
I think the whole country's on the same page on that one. My heart goes out to those guys because they fought NDSU as best as we've seen this year outside of South Dakota State. And like you had previously mentioned about South Dakota State being a top 8 team, top 5 team, because they can compete with the number 1 team in the country. That is valid. Well, Southern Illinois, you know, if they play NDSU 4 times, they're probably going to lose 4 times. But one of those games is going to be very close. And I don't think yesterday's game was even as close as you could have seen. Those boys are ready to play. That Javon Williams is an absolute stud.
Yep.
They got some dudes. I don't know how many they return. But with a guy like number 15, of course, that's Javon Williams, you've got a shot next year. They might be a force to be reckoned with next year. But I think they got absolutely the wrong end of the stick, similar to Indiana State last year. Just unfortunate that the Valley doesn't get the nod that I feel like they do deserve. 5-3 in the Valley with an FBS win. Granted, we've said it on social media and between each other. UMass is awful bad. They would probably go the same record in the Valley. But an FBS win still has to account for something, because there's only 2 other teams in the country that have done that this year. And it's very unfortunate. You know, hopefully they can look at the positive and say that they get to save their body because they, you know, probably weren't going to win it anyway, to be honest with you. So there's a positive spin on it. As much as you could do, that's it. But you work so hard for a full year just to get told you're not good enough when clearly your body of work says that you are.
I don't disagree. I think they got jobbed. Everybody knows it. You know, some folks arguing on Twitter. They're one of the best 14 teams that were not AQs. It's just a simple fact of it. that's based a little bit on, you know, some of the numbers and some of the things I mentioned, but mostly just on the eye test and who belongs on the field with the Bison and who doesn't. And there are some teams that don't, that made the field. And what are you going to do about it? All right, Trev, thanks for your time. Folks, thanks for listening. We really appreciate you lasting this long in the pod. The two things you can do for us. Number one, please become an India or a Bison Report a VIP member. We have some fantastic. If you want to hold off for a little bit, that's fine, because we have some fantastic specials coming up for Cyber Monday, for Black Friday. We have some really, really cool specials to be paying attention to. So keep your eyes open for that. And secondly, help us spread the word of the pod. Subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review. All those things help us pop up higher when folks are looking for football podcasts, looking for NDSU podcasts. And you know what? Tell three or four friends about us. If you enjoy listening to Trev and I week in and week out, we would certainly appreciate that. Hey, guys, thanks one more time, and go Bison.